Speaking of crap, Anthony's had enough of your takes. He thinks they're crap, and he's on the phone line right now.
I think Stewie needs to take a seat a little bit and listen to my whole explanation on the Spezish situation. But we do have Anthony Stewart on the line, so let's hear what he has to say first.
Okay, no.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Let me organize this.
How's it going?
Excellent. Let me organize this, Anthony, because I want to give you the floor, and then we can have Ziggy respond. This could end up being kind of like a court case where Ziggo's on the stand here on trial. You made a comment on the starting lineup yesterday expressing frustration at Ziggy's Spezza take.
Very vanilla.
Explain.
Correct. Well, when you have a proven veteran that's been in the league for 15 years, and, you know, you have a coach that makes comments regarding, you know, his performance after one exhibition game, I can understand if it's 10 games into the regular season, but after one exhibition game in Newfoundland, you're traveling, you know, you can't call out a veteran player like that. So my stance to Ziggy is, well, you got to pick a side. You're either putting the cape on for Jason Spezza or you're not. So he had probably about a half a cape on, but with this, there's no gray area. It's black or white. You got to have his back. And again, I know Ziggy. Ziggy and I have a pretty good banter, but you know, I have no problem calling it how it is, right? So I think you know, the comments that I made probably got a little bit blown out of proportion. And again, I'm not trying to call Ziggy out, but I'm just surprised there wasn't more of a shock level that, you know, they're making comments this early in camp about a veteran player who's proven that, you know, he can play. He's proven that he's going to accept the role that he wants to have by even coming here. And he's here not, you know, coming with a bad attitude. He's coming in, putting in his work. He's coming in, you know, being the true professional that he's been, you know, his whole entire career.
Do you not think something happened, though, Stewie? Is it something must have happened at camp, whether it was practice
He was dash three after the first game. So he's dash three after the first game. He probably didn't like the way he was playing defensively, but you got to give a guy like that a little bit more rope. You got to give him what he didn't come in out of shape, Ziggy. I saw him at Von Iceplex. He, you know, I'm not the best in shape, but he was more in shape than I was. He looked like he was 20 years old. He's in shape. So if he's in shape, he has the positive attitude, what could have happened? You think I don't think he went into Babcock's office saying, well, you know what, I want to be on the power play. I want to be on the first-line power play playing with Marner. I don't think he did that. He's a professional, Ziggy. You know he's a professional. So what do you think happened other than the fact that Babs is having a bad day and he said, you know what, I'm going to now put the spotlight on Jason Spezza?
Well, Stewie, the first comments about Spezza, because there were two sets, the first came before a game was played. Yep. So, so there's that. And then the subsequent topic has been Ben Harper, who of course is like 9 feet tall and is willing to fight. And the Leafs may have an availability or two on the bottom pairing defense as they await Travis Dermott's return, et cetera, et cetera. I just think so much of this team is already clear. Mike Babcock has a tendency to do this. He finds a topic or two to keep everybody or to keep a certain segment on their toes. And it's harder to find certain targets this year because most of the team is already made up.
Yeah, but especially after last year where everyone was micromanaging every single word he said, I'd be a little bit more careful with the words I'm saying. You know, name the captain already so you don't have to deal with that. Marner signed, okay, so you don't have to talk about that. Let's now just focus on the team and focus on getting past the first round, right? That's the number one goal. So to have these distractions, what is really going on, you know, as they say in politics? Well, what's really going on behind the scenes that if they're bringing light to Jason Spezza? In my opinion, we're going to be sitting here end of October saying, you know what, it was a really good signing. And I heard someone say, well, you know, they should give Spezza a letter. I think he's earned. I know he's only here for possibly 1 year, but he is a veteran guy and he's been around so much. People forget his resume. You know, he was a double underager in the OHL. He was a, you know, first round NHL draft pick. So I'm not trying to, you know, pump his tires. I'm not on the Spezza payroll, but I'm just surprised that more people aren't saying, well, what's going on here? Why are you calling out this guy?
What's the best case scenario with Spezza this year? What do you see like upside? What do you see? What role do you see him filling?
I'm not going to go with my Kovalchuk.
Let's talk about that last year. Stewie was like, yeah, well, let's. Oh, you don't want to talk about that.
All right. So, again, what do you need out of Spezza this year? If he gets 15 and 15, that's more. I think that's an A+ season. So I think he could score 15. He'll probably get 5-6 on the power play. So I think 15 and 15 is a quality year, and that's what you need out of your fourth line. You need your fourth line to compete. I remember I played with Clark MacArthur in the Rochester Americans when it was a Buffalo and Florida split, and I got called up 9 times, and I came back with 0 goals, 0 assists, 0 penalties for the whole entire time. And he called me a ghost. He called me Casper. You got to do something. You can't have zeros across the board. So this bottom four forwards, you can't finish this year with 2 goals, 2 assists, 14 penalties. They got to do something. So everyone's saying Ben Harper, he's going to finish with 6, 7, 8 fights. He's going to be doing something. So for this team to be successful, you need not just cost certainty from your bottom tier, but cost performance and certainly performance certainty. Sorry. So they need something out of that bottom 4 or 5 forwards.
With Anthony Stewart, NHL analyst here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. It's Sportsnet Today with MacArthur and Zygomanis. Sabres are in town. First preseason game at Scotiabank Arena. Game 3 of 8 preseason games. Where are we at in camp, Anthony? What is Mike Babcock looking for now that a roster of guys will be getting into their second games here?
He's looking for guys to sort of tidy up the game. You know, the first couple probably inter squad matches, guys are sort of flying around. First couple games of exhibition, so I'm sure some junior guys have gotten down there looking for it now to tighten it up. So there were some missed assignments last game. So I think now that you're going into, mid-camp now, this is where you got to focus on the D zone, focus on the entries, focus on the neutral zone. So they're seeing guys now that can grasp the game at a pro level, at an NHL level. So they're going to be looking at guys, can Patan, steal a spot? Augustino, where are they going to slot in? Can Moore handle a third-line role? Where are we going to put... the player that came in from Russia. So they're looking now to sort of now adjust and see where they can put guys, how they can handle expectations. But, now the heat's a little bit on them now because they came back from Newfoundland 0-2. It's their first home game. So I'm looking to see that they're probably going to ice a more complete lineup, not a full lineup, but more complete, that you'll see in October. So it's an opportunity now for guys to really show what you can do. Guys are going to be excited playing at home. I'm sure they're going to be getting tickets because a lot of families are going to be coming into town. So now is, the opportunity to show what you can do, because guys now, this is going to be their last exhibition game. After this, they're going to be probably cutting the roster down by 15 to 20 guys to really start getting to the nitty gritty. So after, the next couple games, you're really going to see it tighten it up roster wise.
What does this team need to add? You think they're going to stick with the status quo skill and speed IQ, or do they have to get tougher?
I don't think they're really going to add anything. They can't. They're up against the cap. They made their moves in the summer. They made the big trade with Colorado. They're confident in Kerfoot. I'm not sure how they were with Patan because they brought in Augustino, signing him to a deal. So I think they're just going to see what they have. So maybe they're going to adjust after the 10-game mark, which it may be too late. But I think they're just going to, give some young guys an opportunity and see what happens now after that 15-20 game mark when Dermott gets back in Hyman. So I think they're going to now, they're pigeonholed budget-wise, that they have to now give a Liljegren a shot. They have to let Harper see what he can do. We know Marinson's been waiting for his opportunity now. He's sort of been in the press box now for a little bit too long. So I think they're going to give these younger guys an opportunity because, one, they have to, but for the long-term success of this team, they have to have young, cost-effective guys, perform, for this team to be successful.
And now last question, Stewie. What is the worst thing you've been told at camp by management or a coach? Or if you don't want to answer that, what you've heard of is the worst story or way a guy has been let go?
I was told by Mike Keenan, because I missed a check on a power play one time in camp, if I was a nice guy. And I said, he's like, well, before you answer that, I just want to let you know nice guys are on the first flight back to Kingston. So if you're a nice guy, let me know now. But if you don't have 6 hits next shift, you better prove you're not a nice guy. So that's probably the worst thing. It was motivating. I did have six hits, but that was probably one of the worst things. But it was motivating.
Mike Keenan. There are Mike. Some stories.
That's great to add that to your resume. Hey, oh. Like, I played for Mike Keenan. Yeah. I talked to Mike Keenan. I mean, anything. Mike Keenan, because the stories I've heard out of him are a wild.
I got talked to by Mike Keenan, and I didn't need 10 years on a couch to unwire my brain.
He was amazing. He was amazing with me. My first training camp, I actually had a contract stalemate, and we were going back and forth with the team, and I ended up not signing and going back to junior. I started crying, and Iron Mike came in the room and actually gave me a big hug and said, "Don't worry, kid, you'll be back next year." So that's my happy Mike Keenan story.